The message today is about Jesus and hearsay. Continuing along the line of the past weeks when our Savior was asking, "Whom do you say that I am? Whom do men say that I am?" So we're going to read some passages today about Jesus and hearsay. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 40. "And there cometh to him a leper, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And being moved with compassion, he stretched forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou made clean." Now chapter 4, verse 35. "And on that day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us go over unto the other side. And leaving the multitude, they take him with them, even as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And there ariseth a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling. And he himself was asleep in the stern on the cushion. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he awoke, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful? Have ye not yet faith?" Now, let us look at Matthew 25, verse 14. "For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he goes, and he comes back, and then he makes a reckoning with the servants." Look down now at verse 24. Let's hear what one of these servants says to him. "And he also that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid, and went away and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him." And chapter 11, 28. Our Savior himself is speaking these words. 11:28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let us seek God again in prayer. Our Father, how precious are the words spoken by thy Son. We have read what happened to the wind and the sea when his words were spoken to them. And we who have trusted him as Savior know what his words have done to our souls when they were spoken unto us, when they were received and made a part of us. We thank you for that, our God. We thank you for the words of thy Son. He himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And we rejoice that though he spoke them some 2,000 years ago, we have read his words this morning. And our Father, 2 billion years from now, we shall read them again. We thank you, our God, for the words of thy Son. Thou dost know, our God, that his words at times are misunderstood, misquoted. We pray, our God, that from the portions we have read, we shall learn lessons from this. He himself said, my words shall never pass away. So this day, let us put from us, let there pass away from us words attributed to him that were not his, but Father, let there be within our hearts hidden, treasured, his words, because they shall never pass away. Now you have heard the requests for those that are sick, spiritual problems, our God, how great they are. And we cast ourselves upon thee because vain is the help of man. But you are capable of doing all things, our Father, so we appeal to thee. Bless those who have set before us petitions, and let us see thy hand at work in the bodies and souls of thy creatures, our loved ones. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, our God, and empower and prepare hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Be sure you know that what the people are saying about Jesus is true. In past weeks, I've told you some of the things that people said about Jesus, and this week I want to tell you more things that people said about Jesus. Be sure that you know that what people say about Jesus is true, because people are always saying things about Jesus. I remember speaking to my cousin, telling him all things were created by Jesus. Without him was not anything made that has been made. But he retorted. He said, I have read in the National Geographic by Professor Leakey that man originated ever so long ago. And I replied to him, did you not know that Professor Leakey has been described by his colleagues as the abominable showman? But what had happened was this. He had heard say, and this message is Jesus and hearsay, he had heard say that not Jesus was the creator, but that man came from nothing, was evolved, and men of great intelligence were saying that this is the way that man came into existence upon the globe. Think of that. Listening to some authority among men in contradiction to what the Savior said. At another time, we were traveling, and it was a Wednesday night, and I do not like to forsake the assembling of ourselves together at any time. And we were at a little town in Coates, North Carolina. We did not quite have enough time to get back here for the prayer meeting, and so I went to a Baptist group. And there were a handful, and the minister stood up, and he said, we're going to study the book of Ephesians tonight. Now, some people say that it was written by Paul. Others do not believe it was written by Paul. But we shall start with the assumption that Paul wrote this epistle. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Here is a man that is telling people how to live, and he's not even certain that what he's reading from is of that apostle that saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And I told you about a cousin of mine when I gave my testimony saying, before I was saved, why, the Bible is full of contradictions. I said, that's what I said then, but now I know that God's word is inerrant. He said, but didn't you know about of the two creations in Genesis 1 and 2? And then I hastened to explain to him, as I told you, that God often in his word will give us a general overview of a subject, and then in the next chapter, farther along, he will give us the details. He does it over and over again. But he had never heard that. Here is a man who never read the Bible for himself on such rare occasions, but he had heard say that there were two creation accounts, and for that reason, he remembered it, and he was telling me about it. Now, the sad thing is this. All of this hearsay about the Bible and Jesus and creation and evolution, what happens is this, that these people remember what is wrong, but seldom ever remember what is right. Now, on occasion, hearsay about Jesus is good. Did you ever read the biography about John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? It's a fascinating biography, telling what a vile sinner he was before he trusted Christ as Savior, how he was seeking. And one day, he was near a group of women, and these women were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, telling how he was the Savior, and how pleasant a thing it was to know that you had passed from death unto life. Words like that. And he heard it, and those words spoke to his soul. Isn't that remarkable? Hearsay, but thank God, hearsay that on this occasion was a true report concerning the Lord Jesus. I remember another woman who, at the well of Samaria, had been spoken to by the Savior, and she went into the city and said, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ? So here is a woman giving a report. She's not certain at all, but this hearsay about Jesus, at least it causes people to come out, and Jesus is listened to, and then they say to the woman, now, we do not believe because of thy speaking. We ourselves know that this is the Savior of the world. So hearsay, if you happen to hear a woman like the woman at the well of Samaria, or if you happen to hear men talking, and I remember our dear brother Edwards on one occasion being close to some people that were having a theological discussion, and he heard them say, in the past, sin was atoned for by the blood of animals. He said, but now, the blood of Jesus, that is the atonement for sin. And this sinner who knew nothing about salvation remembered that, and when he got into a discussion with people, he was going to show off his knowledge about the Bible, and therefore he said, in the past, it was the blood of animals that made atonement, but now it's the blood of Jesus, and he knew nothing about salvation. But you see, hearsay can be excellent. If you have heard someone say that now it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses from sin, thank God. If you have heard say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if you've listened to people that are talking in a little group, and you've heard that, then that is good. But who wants to base his eternal salvation on hearsay? What I want is to have the experience of those who heard say about Jesus, and then they went and personally heard Jesus. And then they're able to say to women, to men, to preachers, we thank you for what you told us. It happened to be right. But now we have heard from Jesus himself, and we know that he is the Savior of the world. Now, can you say that about Jesus? Or do you have to say, well, my preacher told me, That's what those poor souls down in Coates, North Carolina would have to say. Well, I thought that the Bible was the inspired word of God, but my preacher told me that maybe Paul wrote it and maybe he did not. Is that not a terrible condition to have to carry with you through life? That this man told me and this woman told me and I heard say, when God has recorded for us his infallible word. Listen, many other miracles truly did Jesus which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You say, then I do not have to listen to hearsay. No. That's the worst thing to listen to. If hearsay drives you to Jesus, then that's good. And if hearsay conforms to what Jesus said and confirms what Jesus said, then thank God, listen to it. That hearsay happened to be Christ's words. But if not, disregard it no matter what the educational qualifications of the man is. Let your hearsay be, thus saith the Lord. And that's what the Bereans did. When the apostle Paul spoke to them, they said they were noble, they received his word with all readiness of mind, and then they went and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And right now what I'm telling you is hearsay. If you say, my preacher told me, that is hearsay. But if having heard say that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, if you go to the scripture and read in 1 John 1 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, then it is no longer hearsay. It is the word of God. And at the same time, if you have heard say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by him, and you go and read John 14:6, then it is no longer hearsay, it is Jesus and what he said. And that is the way that we are to go through life. You hearsay, but then you examine in the light of the word of God all this hearsay. And if women having a casual conversation say something about Christ and the Bible says it's true, then believe it. And if the wisest men on earth have discussions, and they have these discussions all the time, and what they say contradicts the word of God, then cast aside that hearsay. Because even in the Bible, and that is why I read to you certain things that I want to tell you more, hearsay about the Lord Jesus. The first was this. In John chapter 9, this is the first one I want to tell you about, in addition to what I read to you. A man that was born blind had been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came to him and said this, what do you say of him? Is that remarkable? Hearsay. What do you say of him? In that he opened your eyes. We want to hear what you have to say about Jesus. And thank God, the man said, why, he is a prophet. That's good. And so, what do you have to say about Jesus? And this man that had been blessed by Jesus, the only thing he knew at that time, he said, well, he's a prophet. But listen to what the ones that asked him, what do you say about Jesus? Listen to what they said. They said, we know that this man is a sinner. Now, what do you say about him? Isn't that remarkable? I dislike being unpleasant, contradicting people. But if a man came to me and said, I know Jesus is a sinner, what do you say about him? I would have to say, I say just the opposite of what you say. But they came to this man, and hearsay was this. We say that Jesus is a sinner. And finally, the man could take it no longer. And I hope we all receive strength and a challenge from him. They said, we know that Jesus is a sinner. Now, what do you say about him? He said, why, herein is the marvel. He said, since the world began, no one has ever opened the eyes of the blind. If this man were a sinner, He could do nothing. He had sense enough to figure that out. If he were a sinner, he would not be able to open my eyes. And they said to him, "You were altogether born in sins, and would you teach us?" Yes, thank God, for any man who was born in sin, who comes and tells me that Jesus is not a sinner, yes, I want to be taught by that man. And if all the theologians of the world say, "Are you teaching me that Jesus is not a sinner?" I don't want to listen to your teaching. Well, I tell you this, it is not the man with his earthly qualifications, but it is the man who has heard the voice of Jesus and who repeats to you the words that Jesus spoke. Those are the words to be believed. And because of that, the man was asked, "What do you say of him?" This is what we say of him. And so again, notice the contrast. "Whom do men say that I am?" And here men say, "You are a sinner." But another man says, "You are a prophet." And he further says this, that you couldn't be a sinner. If you were a sinner, you would not be able to open the eyes of the blind. But all of it is hearsay, do you understand? So finally, we must get to the Word of God, because even those who are nearest to Jesus at times say things and think things about his person and character and work that are misconceptions of our Savior. Notice the scriptures that I read. Here is one of a group of servants that the Savior had entrusted his goods to. And having done that, the man with 5 talents works diligently, the man with 2 talents works diligently, and the man with 1 talent, and I will combine things said about the talent and the pound in Luke 19 as well as Matthew 25, the one with the 1 talent, when he was confronted by Jesus, said this. He said, "I know you, that you are a hard man, and you reap where you did not sow, and you gather where you did not scatter." That was his estimate of Jesus, that he was a hard man, that he grasped, that he drew to him any way, whether right or wrong. He was going to get an increase. He was going to get a gain. Now, that would have been an excellent description of some of the people of the world today that are capitalists. They are willing to do anything. They are hard. They are austere. They are unyielding. They are grasping. They will lie. They will steal. And so here is one that is a confessed servant of Christ. And his attitude concerning his master is, "You are a hard man, you are an austere man, and you are determined to get something, whether you've sown anything or whether you've scattered. You are determined to get a return." Now, I have been saved for over 40 years, and I never have had that impression of my Savior at all. But some of the Lord's servants do. And there are some who are genuine Christians in Goldsboro today. And they think concerning Jesus that if they commit a sin, he's in their hand and he's going to cast them into hell unless they get saved all over again. They think that about Jesus. They think that they have to have sinless perfection or Jesus is going to cast them away and they're going to hell. And I said to one very close to me, I was telling him the way of eternal life, and at first when he heard what I said, he said, "You mean that I'm still lost and I'm going to hell?" And then I hastened to assure him, "No, if you have eternal life, you will never perish. No one will pluck you out of God's hand. But I want you to know that there are some people who think that Jesus holds you in his hand until you sin, and then he casts you away. I tell you this, though you are in his hand and he will not cast you away, the Savior can scourge, but that is a different matter." But understand this, that your outlook and your evaluation of Jesus will determine how you go through life, the feeling of your heart, the things that you say concerning the Savior. All of them are determined by what you think about the Lord Jesus. And some of the things you think about Jesus are hearsay, because you did not get them from God's Word. Tell me anywhere that Jesus, as a master, is hard and austere, and without sowing or scattering, he's going to get an increase. You say, that doesn't sound like Bible to me. It isn't. It comes from the Bible, but it comes from the lips of a man that Jesus described this way. Now listen to what Jesus says concerning the man that said, you are hard and austere, you are a grasper. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. And so that's what Jesus has to say about some that have things to say about him. Now what would Jesus say to you if you gave him a description of what you personally thought about him? Would he say, you wicked, slothful servant? To have those thoughts about me. I took my goods. This is what it says in Matthew 25. It says, he committed unto them his goods. And so, the Son places in your hands his goods. And you say concerning this man that you are working for, that you professedly are serving, you say, you are a hard man. You're austere. You are one that's going to reap, and you're going to draw to yourself, whether you've scattered or whether you've